Hi, I'm Rob Lori, host of Radioactivity. Join me every weekday at 11 a.m. for an in-depth discussion on international, national, and local issues. We'll discuss them in a way that better helps you understand the way our world works. Your calls and comments are always welcome. That's Radioactivity, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. here on WMNF 88.5 FM.
This is Kwiku.
Hey, this is King George. Don't forget to listen to African Safari each and every Tuesday between the hours of 1 to 2 p.m.
African Safari brings to you music from the continent of Africa, east, west, north, and south, and also beyond the borders of Africa where African music have had some influence.
Make sure you listen to each and every Tuesday African Safari on WMNF 88.5.
Join us on the Urban Cafe every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Listen in. Call us. Tell us your concerns about our community. Here on WMNF 88.5, your local radio station. 40 years radioactive.
We are back here on the Sunday Forum. This is Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. We have, I was reading some of the things here that we have. It's now 7 minutes, 7 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I was reading some of the responses from people who are very influential, who are watching us now on Facebook. Dr. Sonia Brookins, who is our soil and water commissioner, one of our soil and water commissioners. I say, who is our soil and water commissioner? Let me tell you, she puts in work. She puts in work. Shout out to Dr. Sonia Brookins and all the work you do. Thank you for representing so well, Dr. Brookins. Thank you so much. You are in a well-deserved position, and I love the work that you're doing out there at ACC with the children, teaching them science and working with them there. Teaching them about the environmental impacts that are out there, and working with the community to try to get information, mobilize the black community, especially, but the black and brown communities and frontline communities to get their narratives out there. That is very, very important. Very important. So thank you, Dr. Brookins, for all you do. Nina Tatlock, thank you so much, Nina Tatlock, who is one of our premier spokespersons regarding this issue of environmental impacts and exposures to these types of things. Nina had been sick because of exposure to industrial sites like this, industrial hazards. Mm. And she has recovered. Thank God she's recovered. And we love you, Nina. Thank you very much. We love you, Dr. Brookins. Thank you very much for your input. But they both point out the fact that here you have big industry. And there has been no oversight of these industries because of cutbacks from the last president. Mm-hmm. The EPA could not do oversight because the budget was cut. Mm-hmm. Now we have to watch and see what happens. For those of you who do not know, our EPA secretary, this would be our second EPA secretary, and he is our second black EPA secretary. We're very, very proud. His name is Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan, R-E-G-A-N. Mm-hmm. R-E-G-A-N. He is now the EPA administrator, the secretary of the EPA. And so we're looking forward to seeing what he does with regard to things around the United States, environmental impacts around the United States, and climate change. And what happens in the frontline communities now and the impacts there. We're going to see how well he does. He's pretty sure he knows he's going to be under some great scrutiny as this goes on. Right. But we need to hold him accountable just like we hold anybody else accountable for the work and for the type of things that are happening here. Now, at this particular point, we can expect that the federal government, and I'm sure they're trying their best not to get the federal government involved, but they're going to have to at some point. You can expect that the federal government is going to have to be involved in this process because of the massive nature of the impacts, of the environmental impacts, and that will hit. Before the break, you mentioned something that was very important, Miko. And we're going to come back to it in just a minute. Okay, so hold that. Let's go to the phones right now. DeAndre, we promise you we'll get back to you. Brother, here you are. How are you doing, DeAndre? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Good morning, Walter. Good morning, family. If I'm not mistaken, during the last governor's administration, his EPA or administrators over regulations for water mysteriously kicked up the legal level of certain pollutants. Maybe not certain pollutants. Maybe they're just pollutants in general. He kicked those up following the other gypsum stack disaster that happened.
Yes.
And
yes.
Another aquifer, if not, I don't think it's the same one, but another aquifer, I think, that belongs to Mosaic.
That's correct. There was a massive collapse that was described as being a sinkhole.
Right, and it did leak into the aquifer, but mysteriously at the time of this occurrence, there's a lot of information that was being tossed around, but one thing in particular was that, and it didn't seem with local network TV to actually realize to coincide with one another, but he actually raised the limit of pollutants that could be allowed in any of our waters.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct. And to add to that, it was under the Jeb Bush administration that I remember back in 2008, there was a legislative move to actually increase the amount of mercury I think you remember that, right? The amount of mercury that human beings could be exposed to. They were trying to increase the limits of mercury that human beings could be exposed through due to consumption and so forth. And that was insane. How are you going to do that? That's a poison. It's a poison.
It is. And it just makes me crazy because not only do they, tax us more, let's put it like this. This is what they do. They drop the taxes on costs for businesses to come here and operate here, okay? For those that are already operating here, they drop the requirements for their function and their production around here. And really, out of that, they're probably getting political donations in the process. So it's like, and the people at the front line suffer the worst, and this, my thing is, I got a lot of things on my mind when it comes to this, but one that sticks out is that Florida Republicans are supposed to be greener than any other organization that you could put up in front of their face.
Yes, yes.
Florida Republicans are supposed to be green.
Yes.
If they let this happen, you can call me liberal, you can call me left wing, you can call me any of that you want to. But I grew up around Florida Republicans. They are environmentalists to the bone, and they're letting this happen.
That's right.
For money. Okay? Rick Scott wasn't just red tie Rick. He was orange. He was citrus greening Rick too.
That's right. That's right.
There's a lot of things that happened under these different Republican administrations that didn't happen under Chris. You know what I'm saying? And people have to wake up. All this extra development that's taking place is hurting our environment, and something has to give, and something socially responsible to the people, to the people with low income, as well just to people in general for the sake of being able to exist and and thrive in these environments, be able to walk down the street without catching asthma?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Asthma. You know, this has to stop. They have to give it up. I mean, you know, this party stuff can only go so far, in particular when it comes to the environment.
DeAndre, let me ask you a question. Are you in Tampa?
I'm in Riverview, but I'm from Tampa, fifth generation.
Okay. DeAndre, this is something that we're pushing now, is movements, trying to encourage a movement of black environmentalists or people who get the narrative, the black narrative out regarding the environment. Because we are the most impacted by environmental events. We are.
Absolutely.
You know.
Whether it's like putting 275 right there in the middle of a black neighborhood, or developing industry right there around those black and Latino neighborhoods, where people from, you know, around the county only have to sit there for a few hours in the day and they work day and then go home. We have to sit there and breathe it in overnight in Central Park Village. I could tell you some stories.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me tell you, hold on, if you will, hold on. Okay, DeAndre, thank you very much for your words. I'm glad you said that, because this is your narrative. This is your knowledge. This is your truth, right? We want to get that. So if you'll hold on a moment, Alvaro, can you make sure that you get, please make sure that you put DeAndre on hold and get his contact information, okay? All right. Thank you very much. DeAndre, thank you very much. He's on line two, Alvaro. He's on line two. Line two. All right. Thank you very much, DeAndre. We appreciate your words, and certainly, you know, they're not biased. They're truth. This is what it is. You know.
Yeah, it's my duty, man. I appreciate the outlet.
Hey, no problem. No problem. And thank you very much again. Okay.
No problem.
All right. Peace, brother. Hold tight. We're gonna put you on hold. All right. All right. That was. Interesting.
Yeah.
That was interesting. He brought up a lot of very interesting information that we cannot ignore. We cannot ignore it.
Right.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We have some text messages, too.
All right, what's the text message? Let's hit it with it.
Okay, so one of them says, as a tax-paying citizen and fisherman, is Tampa Bay, if I have harvested a snook, spotted sea trout or redfish for my family to eat over the last year, plus I was caught doing so, I would be fined. Why aren't owners of this business being fined for the intimate fish kill and environment fallout that is bound to result from this ecological tragedy? Jerome.
Right.
And then here's another one. At DeSantis press conference, they just said that we have had over two decades to address this upcoming crisis, but over the last 4 days, the governor has shown his resolve to fix this problem for good. Not funny. Wish he had any leadership ability.
Wow. Wow. Well, let me, this is not, understand, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be as objective as I possibly can.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The governor has responded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it like that. The governor has responded.
Mm-hmm.
He responded the first time initially by Twitter, but he responded and he declared an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
He has gone on to declare emergency in the other platforms, media platforms as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it got out. We're aware. People are worried,
okay. But
they're aware, right? Evacuation processes have gone underway. People have already left their homes and so forth, and they've begun to evacuate as recently as Friday.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that firsthand when we went out to Getulio and I went down to Piney Point.
Yeah.
What? The concern that we need to have right now is the second question, the first question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, to what extent are we talking about the effects on marine life, of people who depend on fish
right.
or fishing mm-hmm. as a way of life,
yeah.
whether to make money or to eat,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are a lot of people like that
yeah.
in Florida. We cannot ignore that fact. But what we can do is we can hope that that they're coming up with strategies right now. We know they're coming up with strategies right now to try to resolve this issue. Yes, we can say that this was carelessness. This was extreme carelessness.
Yeah.
It was, and I'm gonna read this to you so you'll understand. I was not kidding around when I said that the plastic liner inside these bays. That's why you have people who are not disputing me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I literally challenge anybody to dispute what I'm saying right now. Okay. But I do take correction. If what I'm saying is wrong, call me and correct me. Call me and make a correction, please. Okay? I take constructive criticism very well. My mother was Geraldine Williams. Or is Geraldine Williams. I take constructive criticism very well. Let me tell you. Hey, Mom. Happy Easter, Mom. Happy Easter to my mother, Attorney Geraldine Williams, and happy Easter to my siblings and my father, Dr. Walter L. Smith. Thank you very much for everything and all those great Easters out there. But it's the 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We'll take this next call from Ron from Mango, and then we're going to read this from the Tampa Bay Times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ron, what's happening, man? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hey, thanks for having me, Walter. Happy Egg Day to everybody.
Yes, sir.
You too.
I was born on Easter Egg Day, and I got to see it one more
time. Oh, happy birthday, man.
No, not this time. I'm on the 5th. I was 5th only comes around that only happened once in my lifetime, and my mama told me that, and then it happened. So then there was some conflict about the date, I used to love it as a thing to go to church and everything anyway, so but that's a good old day, and that nostalgia is beautiful. But what we have now is a toxic environment, a toxic substance. It's
yes.
gonna put us in a peril, man. I don't care what type it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is worse than a bullet, because you've been protecting yourself with a bullet, but you can't stop this with a bullet.
No.
You can't stop this with a vest. You can't stop this mess with nothing. With your political voice and your concerted efforts to be unified, stop people from doing stuff like this. That was reckless. The legal term for it is a reckless and flagrant disregard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was reckless. It's been reckless because you ain't got to go way out there to Gibson. So you go 41 when you hit right there, 41 and Adamo.
Yeah. You
cross Adamo. They had chloride metals there, which I was there for a while, and they closed it down for OSHA, and they used to violate. They violated, and it's right there, radioactivity, right into the water. Nobody ain't saying nothing. Nobody ain't doing nothing. I rode by there a couple of times. It's still sitting there.
Right.
Nobody can occupy.
Now, right.
The big thing about the big thing about that is it's not, when I was there, the French owned that, and the French bought it, I think. The French bought it because Leroy Selman had invested in that, and I guess he saw better to take it out of there for the damage it was doing. And the French owned that, and I don't know if they own them other places, but it's foreign people owning those things, so they don't have to abide by any rules, I imagine. The way it appears, they don't have to do too much of nothing. I mean, and to answer Darryl's question of what's going to happen and what we're going to do about it is we're now toxic. It's been toxic. I've been noticing in people, they're toxic. They don't know how to detox. And now this is the worst toxicity. You got radiation is something that nobody can put a measure on.
Right.
And I'm sure you understand that from a scientific standpoint. That's just like the shot. I was explaining to my old lady that they say that what one of them causes clots, but only certain people, and how many people, but a lot of people not being tested for clots. See, it's different variables, so you can't just throw, they're just throwing stuff at us now. So in our society, it's been dumbed down enough so they can just throw this stuff out, and people really breathe it and take it for heart when they should be really internalizing what's really going on with us.
That's right.
Hey, Walter, when we was told to buy water, we should have raised hell right there. That's free to everybody. That's 80, 75% of the earth. It don't belong to nobody. And now look at where we at. You don't can't get it. You can't have it. And what it is, you need it to survive. Your body made of water too.
Well, you know, let me, Ron. That you've made some very good points. I mean, everything you said has been true. Has been very good points. But here's what is very, very important, and we cannot deny this fact. When you talk about water and our drinking water, you talk about our access to water, just period. You know, whether you talk about recreation, whatever it is, this now, when you have more and more of these types of things occur, it messes up our ability to enjoy life right here where we are. Florida is supposed to be the most ecologically delicate state in the union. Okay? And yet we treat it as though we, just us alone, we don't treat it right. We don't do what we're supposed to do. Right?
That's correct.
Now, watch this. Big business, so what do we expect big business to do? Right?
Run amok.
They're going to run amok. They're going to do what they do because we're not paying attention, because we're not calling them out about it, because we don't have enough of a care about what's happening to us environmentally. But I bet you, I can tell you what, I bet you we're going to start doing it now. Bet you that.
Amen to that.
Well, I bet you that.
I'll leave you with two things, because I'm enjoying this conversation, first of all, which is overdue. One word comes to mind, infrastructure.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? It's
yes.
Been on the back burner so long. So we need jobs, infrastructure, all over the place, all underneath, all down the roads. This ain't just enough to pave a road. So you can smooth fast down.
Oh, no. This is a situation.
A serious problem.
Right. This is a serious problem where the engineering controls failed. And there was nothing else done about it because the site itself was not is not operating. It does not operate. It's just there, right? So the maintenance of the site should have been better cared for, and it was not. So, Ron, thank you very much. I appreciate your call, brother. We got some other calls we got to take. But I'm going to read this information right here. This is important. This came from the Tampa Bay Times. Miko, mm-hmm. Alvaro. It said the plastic liner that holds, this is from Zachary Sampson. Mm-hmm. The photograph that you see at the top of the headline shows a view of a phosphogypsum stack far background and water management at HRK Holdings. That's the name of the property of the property manager and the owner of the property now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. HRK Holdings in Palmetto. That's where we were yesterday. Mm. We saw this.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we go. Zachary Thompson. He says that the plastic liner, he's the author of this, the plastic liner that holds wastewater in a roughly 480 million gallon reservoir at the old Piney Point phosphate plant has, much like the property as a whole, had problems before. Mm. Now it could be the cause of an environmental catastrophe in where? Tampa Bay. A leak has already led to discharges of at least, get this, 25 million gallons of polluted water. It is now going up, by the way, of polluted water at Port Manatee. Managers on the site are scrambling to head off what they fear could be a complete collapse. While environmentalists worry, the discharges alone could seriously hurt the bay. Now, think of the collapse, folks. I'm not reading the article right now. I'm just stopping for a moment. Think of the collapse. With the collapse, we must think about the issue of air quality. Because if there is a collapse,
mm-hmm.
it does not stop the wind. There is no covering there. And there is no barrier to keep that, to keep any of those materials from blowing and being inhaled by human beings. Now, if I were to give you an example, let me give you the example. Progress Village has to deal with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are, there is a gypsum stack nearby. And they get the dust and byproducts of those of that gypsum stack in their community each and every day. Every hour, the report that I've gotten, and I've seen it, every hour or so, people have to go out and wipe down their cars or wipe off their lawn furniture to get the dust from the gypsum stack off. Okay? They're breathing this stuff. Now imagine what this means for those people that are down here in Manatee County. Further, let's read further. Regulators believe a tear, watch this, regulators believe, what? What you mean? Regulators believe a tear in the liner might have touched off this cascade. The condition, and I quote, the condition of the liner is not particularly great. Really? Really? Mike Kelly, an outside engineer working with the report with the property owner, HRK Holdings, told Manatee County Commissioners Thursday. It's old. I quote, it's old. There were some installation issues. There's a long documented history of that liner system having problems. Did you, and I end quote, there is a long documented history of that liner system having problems. Thank you, Mike Kelly. Thank you, brother engineer. This isn't Walter Smith saying this.
Yeah.
This isn't Walter Smith, the engineer, the environmental engineer speaking on this right now. This isn't Walter Smith, the safety guy. So speaking on this now. No. This is Mike Kelly, an outside engineer working with the property owner, HRK Holdings, who told the county commission that it is old. There were some installation issues. Installation issues? And to top it off, there's a long documented history of that liner system having problems, period, in the quotation. Over the last year, environmental records show staff have inspected the liner. The staff have inspected the liner on multiple occasions and found small holes or weaknesses in plastic seams above the waterline. Come on now. They documented potential cracks last December, October, and July, the records show.
Of 2020?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Kelly said an underwater seam might have come apart, triggering the leak. What'd I say? It's just like a mound, and the water goes to the bottom of it, and it does what? Comes out, and it causes what? Implosion.
Right.
A collapse. This is the looming disaster is an episode. Well, watch this. Kelly said an underwater seam might have come apart, triggering the leak. Employees are still investigating and have not confirmed the source. The looming disaster is an episode of history repeating at Piney Point. What? Once a manufacturing hub of the fertilizer industry, the property has been the source of polluted discharge in the past. The plant contains not just wastewater ponds, but stacks of, phosphogypsum, a material monitored for its what? Radioactivity. Regulators fear those heaps stout above Florida's flatlands could break apart under pressure from leaking water, leading to an uncontrolled discharge. the water being sent into the bay. What? The water being sent into the bay, officials say, holds nutrients like nitrogen and is slightly acidic. He's taking that very lightly. This is a problem.
Well, that's why I'd asked you earlier if it could spread to other counties.
It Hillsborough County.
Sounds like it could.
Hillsborough County. I mean, this is not, this is, well, okay, well, let's go. Here's another statement. Watch this. I got to read this.
Okay.
Okay. So, Glenn Compton, leader of the environmental advocacy group, Minnesota 88, he's 88 years old, blames a lack of oversight and inadequate investment by property owners. And I quote, "Piney Point has been mismanaged for decades," he said. "This is just the latest saga." HRK Holdings did not answer a call or text message or reply to an email with specific questions about the liner and whether previously discovered cracks in it should have been a red flag. I can tell the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP, did not provide an answer to a similar question Friday morning about whether regulators or the company could have intervened. Yes, they should have. DEP, I used to work for DEP. I can tell you right now, DEP should have gone down there and checked this. They checked for gas tanks. A mining operation should be no different.
Right.
And when a report is made of this magnitude, you have to wonder who were they reporting to? Not DEP. I'm talking about the people who the person who where did that report go? When the engineer did what he did, when he did the inspection, and this information was revealed, only to find out before this engineer, before then they knew that something was wrong. What happened?
Can only think
of
hush money.
Man, come on. This is sick.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke. This is sick.
All right.
Because they do the same thing. They've done it for years right here where we live. Right here where we live. The same dadgum thing. Right?
Right.
And people get cancer, and it doesn't bother anybody else. It doesn't bother them because it doesn't touch them. After they leave that doggone thing, after they leave those sites, they go home to wherever they live, which is a long distance from there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they're out of sight from this whole thing.
Right.
So it doesn't bother them. But when our, like I always say, when our problem becomes their problem, then they start scrambling. And this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Now, it might not be the same way, but our problem is now their problem.
Yeah.
In a much bigger way. Let's go to the phone lines. It's now 39 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Chris. Chris, welcome to the Sunday Forum. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Walter. Well, it's about eliminating our food, our tourism, our ability to attract people to this economy. And I posted a lot of resources on Mosaic and phosphate mining, but Mosaic being one of the operation here in Florida that we need to get rid of, as this has demonstrated. So there are a lot of groups and people that you can network with, posted on the Facebook Live comment there, websites and videos you can also learn from about the history of phosphate mining and Mosaic. And they need to pay for epidemiological studies.
Absolutely.
Investigation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's something that they've never been required to pay in the past. When they've been fined by the EPA, they've only had a slap on the wrist. Not only the people they've injured, but we need to have them fund the studies for finding how the extent of the damage. And I'm seeing a London Guardian article that says that radium and uranium have been found, so they're saying to stay away. And As I mentioned a few months ago, there was the 2018 Nobel Prize winner, Gerard Moreau, Nobel Prize winner for physics, and a California-based professor, Toshiki Tajima, are working on neutralizing radioactive waste with lasers. And as I mentioned, you can just do a search online of and find a lot of research going back to the 2001. There's a patent that you can find by doing a search of the term lasers radioactive waste decay, mm-hmm. or just add the word water and find that it looks like it's promising that we can neutralize radioactive isotopes with millions of years half-lives in less than an hour, they're claiming. So I would like
that's
to
a heck of
that.
A claim. That's one heck yeah. of a claim.
Yeah, that's in the lab, so they're still working on it in practice. So once that's developed, I would like to see Mosaic required to deploy that type of technology right away, as well as mitigating the red tide, maybe with ozone. I know people have success with microbubbles of ozone. My only question with that is that because there are most germs, like the bacteria and the red tide, the different germs in red tide are anaerobic, the harmful ones, or they're partially anaerobic, meaning they can't survive in the presence of oxygen.
Right.
And since ozone is superoxygen, or O3, it's concerning to me that there are also a lot of beneficial bacteria that could be destroyed. So I don't know if there's been studies on that, but I remember last year, or back in 2018, going back to 2018, there was a company that was...
Here's a question then, Chris. Can those bacteria be reintroduced?
Right, exactly. To right. culture them and then reintroduce them into the environment, find out what those bacteria or those microbes are, and reintroduce them, and then you'd be just as good as when you started, I would hope.
Right.
I would really like to put Mosaic out of business with this little bit of information, is that their products are useless and they're deadly. They're chemical fertilizers, of course. When you buy fertilizer, it says PNK. That's phosphorus, nitrogen, potassium.
Right.
Those are the three main minerals that most crops need to do well, but they don't have a very good immunity to bugs and, you know, herbs. They need herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides. And so because these crops have been weakened due to malnutrition, they've induced a dependency on these fertilizers and on the herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides. So the idea behind fertilizing a plant is to disassociate the ion from the mineral in order for there's no need to be a chemical process to go through and disassociate that ion. You know, just like with coronavirus, where mm-hmm. we know mm-hmm. that zinc needs to be transported into the cell, you need an ionophore to transport the mineral ion into a cell, and then it can be active.
Right.
So that's right. basically the same situation here.
Well, there's going to be, and thank you very much, Chris. I really appreciate that observation.
Well, with a water ionizer, that's all you need to make mineral ions. Take the minerals and at home with a water ionizer.
Right.
You won't believe how much better your plants will grow and produce, and annuals and biennials even become perennials, and you don't need any herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm suggesting take Himalayan salt with a water ionizer. You don't need to buy any of these chemical. I just want to drive Mosaic stock down even further.
Well, I tell you what, man. You're doing a good job of it, I'm sure. Listen, man, thanks, Chris. We appreciate your call, brother. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. He really doesn't like Mosaic. All right. We're going to go to Billy just a second. I'm looking here at a response from online, from Facebook page. D. Wilkins. Hey, Ms. Wilkins. She owns Impact Magazine. And she says, where are they going to put 25 million gallons or more of polluted water and debris? Where is it all going, and who is worried about this catastrophe? Ms. Wilkins, let me just answer that question right now. I don't know where they're going to put that debris. But you best believe it better not be in the black community. Now, it better not be. Now, they better find something else now, but don't do that. But let me tell you, who needs to be watching it? We all need to be watching it. Right. Who needs to and who needs to be worried? Who's worried about this catastrophe? We all are worried about the catastrophe. All of us are. But let me tell you, the people in the frontline communities need to be more worried because we don't know where those byproducts are going to go. We don't know how far this thing is going to impact, what the far-reaching impacts are exactly. But we have some indication of what they are, but we need to watch it. We need to watch it, and we need to be very careful about what is to happen following this, the fallout of this entire thing. But what we need to do is make sure that we are tracking it. To our mayor and to county commission, I say, please, 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 let's be careful about what is going to, about what's happening. Let's monitor this very carefully so that people are not, so the communities are not, are not hurt by this. They cannot. It must stay industrial. Whatever they do needs to stay industrial. It needs to stay out of our communities. It needs to badly, badly. Let's go to the next call. Let's see, Billy. Welcome to the Sunday Forum, Billy. Happy Easter. Wow. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter. This is you're an environmental man, right?
Environmental engineer, yes, sir.
Yeah, this is precisely what happens when you put dollars over cents. Mm-hmm. And it's not the 25 million gallons that you worry about. And that's only a very small portion of what's happening, you know, what's gotten out of here. What happens mm-hmm. when the whole thing collapses, where it's going to go?
Right.
It will collapse.
Right.
I mean, this is, when you look, this is what happens when you don't listen to guys like Walter Smith, or better yet, you hire guys like Walter Smith, and then you get rid of them, or you find some way of ignoring them. And now we pay for this decades later. And this is what Joe Biden was talking about in terms of the collapse of our infrastructure around here in America. And you know, you can say that the governor is reacting right now, but look what his party has done. Look at the attitude of his party when as soon as Mr. Biden said that we need an infrastructure bill to improve infrastructure. Look at the reaction of Mitch McConnell. We're not going to vote for anything like that. This is the wrong prescription. Well, when you ask, well, what is your prescription? He can't tell you. You know, so we're in a dilemma.
Right.
We're in a dilemma. This thing. As far as from what I can say, from my, and you can say something very else. We are the ones, you say black folk, are the ones who are most impacted health-wise. And so when I look at it from my point of view, I say that health-wise, yeah, and we're impacted because this is in our community. We cannot get the resources, that we don't have the physicians available to treat these off currents of it, and then we do have a disease. We're not treated properly.
Right.
It's almost as if you've got an environmental genocide that is going on. We're like an afterthought or so.
Right. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Right. So this is going to be a lot more costly. I said the governor can react all he wants. He's reacting, you know, after the fact. And now he wants the federal government to step in to bail him out of a situation where you've had 20 years of lackluster leadership in Tallahassee and stuff, where they wanted to deregulate this and deregulate that and ignore the fact that this was radiation, a part of these products were
radiation
that should be environmentally protected. However, because of politics, we were able to remove this type of gypsum phosphate from being an environmental pollutant, and it was just allowed to sit there, even though people recognized the danger of it. So, I mean, and then now he's going to ask the same federal government to come help him bail him out of a situation that they put themselves in.
That is correct.
Like the coronavirus, you know. You didn't pay attention to it. You ignored it. You wanted to open up the state. Now you want the government to bail you out of your foolishness that you have created. So, Brother Walter, I'll just leave it like that and let you handle it because you're the environmental engineer.
As the pharmacist and medical professional, I can tell you right now, you're very important to this process. All of you are. And one of the things that we cannot do is we cannot lose our doctors, pharmacists, and other nurses, and other medical professionals that are out there. These things impact us in ways that we cannot deny. But without having that resource in our community, we're in a very bad situation. We'll be in a very bad situation. But thank you very much because now I am within the norms.
Our last article. You're within the norms about the cancer patient that the oncologist was afraid, fear of treating because the DEA ended up attacking him.
Wow.
And that's within the, youarewithinthenorms.com.
We'll check it out.
Article came out yesterday.
Check it out. Check out You Are Within the Norms, everybody. Check it out online, all right? Hey, thank you very much, Billy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Let's go to Steve. Steve on the Sunday Forum. Steve, welcome to the Sunday Forum. 30 seconds, hey. Steve. Hey.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, real good. You know, this is very unfortunate. It got me really thinking just in general. Basically, if you look, the Flint water crisis, still don't have clean water. Joe Biden and Barack Obama kept Rick Snyder out of jail on that one, and that's still a continuing story to this day. They don't have clean water in Jackson, Mississippi, or Newark, New Jersey. I was just reading an article in southern Illinois, where minorities and black communities are living. It was on Vice, some news, that they talked about every time it rains, they have ankle-deep raw sewage in their street and in their front yard. The guy was, and then you're looking at start talking about San Francisco's problems, where there's almost more homeless people than people living in empty buildings. And this all ties into, you have two parties, same product. They live in the same gated communities. It's a mafia cabal. And when you look at deregulation of the country, and they always use that word, rugged individualism, pull up your bootstraps, the country... And you can look at studies throughout history why empires come and they go. Government corruption, infrastructure, and they start deteriorating within and not enough health care. I don't care if it's the Roman Empire or the American Empire. They come and they go. And the thing right now that's disintegrating is our infrastructure. And then you look at the Chinese today that are spending tons of money on their infrastructure to rebuild their country, their roads, their bridges, and so on. And this is the neglect. And we always hear, living in Florida here, it's always happening to somebody else. And and all of a sudden we have something so close to home. And let's face it. Rick, Fifth Amendment Scott, who, in my opinion, should be in a jail cell for many other reasons, and even his Jeb Bush, and these people, that their priorities are not for the people in the working class, and the poor, their priorities and are for that ruling elite class. And so, in general, this is the problem in the United States of America right now. And the Flint water crisis, because I knew people that lived up there in Flint, and only a few people, even the corporate media, didn't like to talk about it. And both parties, Barack Obama went up there, and Joe Biden, they drank water in front of the crowd and everything. And Barack Obama could have got Flint... could have signed executive order, Medicare for all, for life, for Flint, Michigan, got federal engineers up there, put Rick Snyder under custody because he knew about the whole thing, and could have got engineers up there and got the water system hooked back up to Lake Huron. And that's a whole other story if you investigate that. But in general, I'm just trying to say when something like this happens, it is inexcusable, and it's because of deregulation of industry. Everybody, let's face it, big corporate America hates to be regulated. They hate to be told what to do. But government is a good thing if it's not corrupted, because it's there to regulate the rich man. That's why government was put there for the people. But the people will hurt if the government isn't in their corner, and it's in the corner of the oligarchs. And that's why we're in the situation in the country, and it's disturbing to me. But when you look around the reality, and this is long before anybody like Donald Trump was ever in the White House. I mean, you know, when you go and you look, you study the 1920s.
Right.
You had three conservative administrations. You had Warren G. Harding, Calvin Coolidge, and Herbert Hoover. All three deregulated Wall Street. All three declared war on organized labor. All three gave corporate tax breaks to the 1%. Mm. All three were against the people and what happened in 1929. And if you go from 1929 to Ronald Reagan in 1980, which was really, I hate to say it, was the beginning of the end of America. And the last president really to do anything for anybody, let's face it, was LBJ. And if it wasn't, I've always said this, if it wouldn't have been for Vietnam, LBJ's head would be on Mount Rushmore, where you got Medicare, you got Medicaid, you got civil rights.
Interesting points. Those are very,
you know, you got higher wages. So anyway, it's disturbed. This whole thing is disturbing to me, you know, and it's real close to home here, and it's making a lot of people nervous. But you got to look at why it happened and why it's going to happen again. Because you have a mafia cabal, two-party system, that are for the same policies. They just put a face on, like, big-time wrestling. Hey, you bad, be good. But they're not. None of these people are good.
Hey,
so,
man.
This is the situation we're in, so.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your viewpoint.
I didn't get on a soapbox there.
Hey, listen, thank you. We appreciate your viewpoint, and we cherish it. Thank you very much, though, Steve. All right?
All right, bye now.
All right, call again. All right, and then we have Clay to wrap it up. Clay, you got 30 seconds, Clay, this time now. Clay, what we got?
Listen, let me cut right to the chase.
Yes, sir.
That we need a solution to the pollution and the contamination.
Yes.
And I saw one in this documentary film, which an environmental scientist you would love, called Cool It, from Daniel Nocera, of the professor of energy and chemistry at MIT, has a water splitting process where they're trying to find ways to use the sunlight to actually be able to store power, and that would be through a fuel cell.
Oh, I saw that.
They call it all artificial photosynthesis. But here's the wonderful thing about it. They can take polluted water, contaminated water, and split it and take out the hydrogen oxide and leave behind as a solid waste the stuff that's in it. And then when they run it through a fuel cell, it becomes water again. Their only problem has been getting someone to finance it. Now, I say what we do is make the phosphate industry pony up the money to be able to do this on a large scale because it works. Their catalyst will clean water. And make them process all this water in their gypsum stacks through this, creating energy as a byproduct and cleaning the water. You should check it out, my friend.
I think you're right. So, I think I saw what you were talking about. I've seen that before. And that is a very interesting process. I know the process, it does exist. That is something they need to look into, definitely. We're not sure to what extent we would need it here. I mean, I'm sure, clearly, it would be massive. It would have to be a massive operation, but let's see what happens, man.
It is. Well, that's the whole point, is that they have this down to it's perfected. It's artificial photosynthesis. It works. The problem is getting funding to build it on a large scale. Well, we have problems with polluted water all throughout the country, and we're just talking about this particular issue. This is the way to clean that stuff up, to put a plant next to it and start splitting that water into hydrogen and oxygen and leaving behind a solid waste.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
All
thanks, Clay.
Well, peace be upon you all.
Hey, happy Easter to you, man.
Yep. Happy Egg Day to everybody.
All right.
You
all right. Peace to you. Peace to you. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. We have a situation out here. And I think that with this conversation, what we've done is we've established the fact that we need to be on the front line. Frontline people need to be on the front lines with their narratives about what's happening to them. And especially Black people. We need to be on the front line of the environmental movement with our narratives about what's happening to us. But hey, happy Easter to everybody out there. Please be safe. Love your loved ones. Love on them real good. And as usual, from our voice to the radio waves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Happy Easter, everybody. Be good.
Happy Easter.